Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi football fan, this story starts during the Second World War. Back then, an American man flew 65 combat missions in a B-25 bomber, serving as a radio operator and a photographer. Soldiers weren't allowed to keep a diary, but this man did. His name was Irving J. Shaffer, and he was born in New York. During the Second World War, this man wrote down all his experiences, every operation, every emotion. Irving often wrote about his wife-to-be, Cheryl. He missed her immensely. She wrote him letters. Irving managed to survive the war and then returned to the United States, where he was united with Cheryl. They married and moved to Phoenix, Arizona. Irving opened the city's first high-end clothing store and called it the Gentry. The couple grew old together. They had 33 great-grandchildren. One of these kids is DeAndre Yetlin. Today, DeAndre Yetlin is one of the more senior players in the U.S. men's national team. Irving was still alive when DeAndre was a kid. The war veteran would come out to watch DeAndre's games when DeAndre was developing as a young football player. DeAndre and his great-grandfather shared a love for fashion too. They had a good relationship. DeAndre called his great-grandfather Puppy. Irving passed away in 2011, when DeAndre was 18 years old. DeAndre got a big tattoo on his neck that reads, "The Gentry," after his great-grandfather's shop in Phoenix. DeAndre broke through as a professional football player at Seattle Sounders, and he impressed the world of football during the 2014 World Cup in Brazil, when he played a brilliant game for the US versus Belgium. Eden Hazard, who already was a bona fide superstar back then, had a very hard time dealing with Yetlin's pace and energy. This spectacular breakthrough performance earned Yetlin a move to Tottenham Hotspur in the Premier League. He later played for Sunderland and would spend the majority of his career in England at Newcastle United. After a brief stint at the Turkish giants Galatasaray, DeAndre Yetlin returned to the United States this year to sign for David Beckham's Inter Miami. It's been almost 8 years since he left home, so I hopped on a call with DeAndre Yetlin to reflect on his years in European football and to find out what his life is like in Miami. Hello, DeAndre. How are you doing?
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay, man. What happened to your face?
Had the head collision in the game on the weekend. So try to get some stitches and yeah.
All right. Will it be a scar or will it heal up? All right.
It'll be a scar. Yeah, it'll definitely be a scar. But I got like the same one over this eye. It's kind of faint now, but. It's yeah. Weird. They're like the exact same position. It's crazy.
Battle scars, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
How was your day today so far?
No, it's good. Good. Just had training and now back and went on a walk with my daughter and probably after going to go down to the pool and just relax for a little bit. So all right. nice in Florida.
Yeah. How's life in Florida so far?
It's been great. It's like, I mean, it's such a nice change from being so far from my family. Just to be able to be back now, obviously me and my girlfriend have our daughter, so now my family's able to see her a lot more. And then just being back and, you know, seeing how the MLS has grown and things like that is like, it's incredible to just be back and be part of this growing league.
DeAndre has always been more than just a football player. He has lots of interests outside the sport as well. He's into fashion, like his great-grandfather, for example. And he's very outspoken on social issues like racism. I asked DeAndre how he would describe himself. Here's what he said.
The way I describe it is probably that I'm a human being, like everybody else, that happens to play professional soccer or football, whatever you want to call it. But I think I'm also a lot more than that. I don't like to be kind of put in that box. I think being put in that box comes with a lot of stereotypes and different sorts of things that, I don't believe that I am. So, I'm really into art. I'm really into fashion. Anything that has to do with creating or imagination, things like that, I love. That's kind of, I think that part of it is kind of the other side of me that, you know, I think people are starting to know now, but maybe in the past people didn't know so much. I love obviously tattoos and things like that. So anything that really has to do with the creative process, I love.
Yeah. So you mentioned the stereotypes, right? About professional football players. What do you think some of those stereotypes are?
Yeah. So I think with professional footballers, I think a stereotype is, just that they go out, they buy the fanciest things because they have the money. And, I think a unfortunate one is that, disrespect for the woman and things like that. Not very open-minded, not kind of up to date when it comes to political stuff and things going on around the world, kind of in their own world. Those are kind of the main ones that I've come across as far as stereotypes go. But often when I speak to people and speak to people about subjects other than soccer or football, whatever we're calling it, they're like, wow, like you're actually pretty intelligent. I'm just a person. You know what I mean? I think that's sometimes it's unfortunate that, just because you get kind of put in that box, people have a certain kind of, stereotype about you or thought process about how you are before even meeting you. So there's that. And then for me personally, I think, a lot of the ones that I've gotten is, I think I'm a gangster because I have tattoos and I have a tattoo on my neck and a tattoo here on my face and this sort of stuff. That's kind of like the worst one that I've got. It's just like, oh, come on. Like, you know what I mean? It's ridiculous that, you have to be in some sort of, thug world or whatever it is to have tattoos on your neck. It's expression, it's art, it's it's all perspective though. So,
and there's a meaning behind it as well, right?
Every single one of my tattoos have a meaning behind it. Yeah, I don't have one tattoo that I couldn't explain why I got it.
The one in I see now in your neck, yeah, Gentry. It has to do with your great grandfather, right?
Great grandfather, yeah. So he had a into fashion as well, and he had the first men's luxury clothing wear in Arizona. So obviously another one of my passions is fashion, and the store was called Gentry, so that he opened. So I thought it would be kind of a nice ode to him and nice way to honor him, and also a way to kind of honor both of our passions colliding. And just boom, put it right there.
By the way, I have a glass of water. It looks like wine, but it's water. It's nighttime here in Europe.
I love it. Wine or water doesn't matter.
So you ditched your social media for a while, right? You're back on Instagram and stuff, but you ditched it for a while. And that's something you don't see a lot. It's something I thought about as well often to do. But course, when you're a famous football player, it is even more present in your life. So why did you choose to do that? And what kind of impact did it have on you?
Yeah, so when was it? I think it was during the lockdown in England. And it was me, my girlfriend, and my friend Matty, and we were just sitting around my kitchen. I was on it, just scrolling. And it had been like an hour and a half. I didn't realize it was that long. My girlfriend's like, you haven't looked up like once. And like, I think, you know, we all need that sort of wake up call to realize when something's a problem. And sometimes we're so immersed in it that you don't even realize it's a problem. You know, it's like sometimes if you have, like, when you were younger and you got a girlfriend and you're so in love and da 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 da, you're in a relationship and you don't see that there's anything wrong, but your family's like, you know, I see a lot of things going on, but because you're immersed in it, it's hard to really, you know, see the problem. So it's kind of like that. And from that point, like, I was like, I gotta get off this and just see how it is. You know what I mean? So I told myself I was going to get off for a month and just to see how it is. I ended up loving it. You know, I paid attention a lot more to things, you know, that were happening right in front of me in my life, you know, when I'm driving, just paying it, like, realizing, you know, more things around me. I started meditating, doing that. And that also really helped my awareness and just how I'm feeling at certain points in time. And I think it's really important because, you know, the most important person that you can know is yourself. And I think a lot of us don't know ourselves. And I think something that really adds to not knowing yourself is social media. And I'm not saying social media is bad. I'm just saying, I think people need to get to a point where I don't want to say mastered yourself, because that's a really difficult thing to do, but where you know yourself a little bit better than you do now, and then hop back on. So when somebody makes a comment, and, you know, it could be a 12-year-old kid, you know, somewhere way off, and they say, oh, well, you suck at soccer. You know what I mean? It doesn't hurt you because you know yourself, and nothing like that shit. I mean, I there'll be people that say, oh, well, how do comments hurt you and da da da, or how can you, you know, get so fed up over comments and things like that. And it's not necessarily that, but it's just, even seeing it is just negative. You know what I mean? There's no reason to even see it, you know? So I really had to work on myself and kind of just my inner peace before I decided to hop back on. And now I'm at a place where I feel like I've worked on a little bit more. Or if people were following me before, but to now, I post a lot less. I'm on it a lot less. I try to be a lot more private with my life, especially now with my daughter. You know, my girlfriend went off it as well, and she's still not back on it. We both just really enjoyed, you know, how, I think it's just how much more we were living life, you know what I mean? Rather than living on Instagram. That was kind of the big thing.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask, you know, you said you have to know yourself a little bit more before. So what's something you learned about yourself in that period that you were off social media?
Yeah, I mean, I think a huge thing came with the meditation, you know what I mean? And I think I learned, I just wasn't aware of what was going on around me. You know what I mean? There's so many times where I'll be walking and, you know, could be looking down at my phone, or even if I don't have my phone, but still not aware of what's going on around me. And, you know, one of the things, I really got into Buddhism, and, you know, one of the things, you know, they say is, like, you know, you're walking along a path and you see a rock. That rock can be different every single day. It can be in the exact same place, but it can be different every single day, depending on how you look at it. So it's all perspective and things like that. So that's what I really try to do. I really got more in touch with nature. I mean, I'm from Seattle, so I already love nature anyway, but I really got more in touch with nature, started taking a lot more walks, started in England, there's a place called the Lake District, you know, that I found out like 3 months before I left for Turkey. So we were going there, trying to go there as much as possible. Cool. And yeah, I think it's just, I just learned I wasn't really aware of what was going on around me. And now I truly feel like I am.
DeAndre grew up with his grandparents in Seattle. His father, a man named Larry Rivers Jr., went to prison 2 weeks before DeAndre was born. He's serving a life sentence for multiple offenses, including robbery and kidnapping. DeAndre never met his father growing up. His mother, Rebecca, was in and out of trouble, so she decided DeAndre would have a better chance of success with her parents. That's why DeAndre, as a child of a mixed-race couple, grew up with his grandparents, who are white. I suspected that gave him a unique perspective on life, so I asked him about it. you were raised by your grandparents, right? And you, of course, are light skin and your grandparents are white. And from what I understand, you grew up in a very white environment as well. Now, I am sort of a little bit brownish. You know, my mother is Indonesian. Yeah. My father is white. But I grew up in a extremely white environment in the Netherlands. Yeah. So, and even I was always aware that I looked a little bit different than everyone else, right? And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but can have an influence on how you develop, 100%. Right? So what was it like for you?
No, 100%. It was interesting. And it was an interesting childhood growing up. And don't get me wrong, I love my childhood, but I think when you're a child in that moment, you know, it's different than when you look back and you realize, okay, there was some things that were, you know, a bit odd. Like I remember going out to eat with my family. And obviously we have my uncle who's kind of like a father figure for me and my grandpa and, my step-grandma, I call her Goddess. And, we'd be going out to eat and, you know, they all be waiting. I'd be kind of behind them cause I was smaller at the time. So nobody could see me. They'd pay whatever the cash register. And then, you know, the person at the cash register would be like, all right, and can I help you? I'd be like, oh no, I'm with them. You know what I mean? And there was always, the question is, oh, is he adopted or, you know, that sort of thing. Or if I had braids in and they were a little bit long, it's like, oh, she's so pretty. You know, these sort of things that, you know, you probably wouldn't get in a different neighborhood, but, you know, that's the way it is. You know, it's obviously definitely a cultural thing. But it's things that at the time I didn't even really realize, you know what I mean? It's just normal. But my mom lived in, obviously in a different area. So when I went over to her house, then it was kind of the opposite, you know what I mean? So I definitely got both sides of the coin. But I remember asking my grandma, like, because I went to a school, I think I was one of three, you know, colored kids in the school, you know, I think there was one other girl and maybe one other guy that was mixed race also. But, I remember asking like why here on my finger is part of it brown and like the palm white, you know what I mean? And then had to go on the whole conversation because I was looking at everybody else's hands and I was like, why do they not have this line that kind of separates the dark from the light? And it's weird that you're curious about that as a kid, you know what I mean? But yeah, it's true. Like you say, it's like there's certain things that, you know, get brought up and kind of like, wow, it's a little bit strange.
Do you think that makes you, the fact that you know that you look a little bit different than most of the kids around you, do you think that also makes you feel like you maybe are a little bit different?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, I think there, I got asked once, you know, you're half black and you're half white, basically, is a breakdown. And I got asked once, why don't you see yourself as white? You know what I mean? Because you're half and half. And I said, honestly, it's a great question, but if I was to go up to somebody and say, hey, what am I? Nobody's going to say I'm white. Do you know what I mean? The world will not see me as white. The world may see me as black. The world may see me as mixed race. The world may see me as even Hispanic or Indonesian, whatever, you know what I mean? But they're definitely not going to say he's white. So it's almost a reflection of what the world brings back to you. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
And I thought about it. I'm like, it's true. I am half and half. I mean, I'm the same one side, the same the other, but nobody thinks of me that way. So it's kind of how I've been raised to think of myself.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I really like what DeAndre says here. DeAndre grew up in Seattle, a beautiful city in the northwest of the United States. He was a talented football player as a kid, and he was picked up by the Seattle Sounders, where he broke through as a right back. His big breakthrough came in the summer of 2014, when he played a brilliant World Cup with the United States. That sparked the interest of several giant clubs in Europe, from Rome to London. DeAndre signed for Tottenham Hotspur, but that was a difficult move. DeAndre had some tough competition from players like Kyle Walker at Tottenham Hotspur, and he struggled to adapt to the level of play in the Premier League.
First month I was there, it was really just kind of eye-opening to see the level. I think that was it. It was eye-opening to see the level. And I think at that point in my mind, I lost confidence a little bit from that point, just thinking I'm not at this level. You know what I mean? And that kind of kept going through my head and going through my head. I'm like, I'm not at this level. I'm not at this level. Why, you know, why am I here? Da, 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 da. And I think that was kind of the foundation of a lot of the struggles that I had while I was there. You know, I soon after that recognized that, you know, a big problem of mine was just my mental strength, my mental side of the game was, I thought it was so good because I hadn't really had any struggles before. You know what I mean? I hadn't really gone through any struggles in my career before. Coming from Seattle, you know, I played every game from the second I got to Seattle. I went to the U-20 World Cup. I went back to Seattle, was an all-star in the MLS, went to the World Cup. You know what I mean? There was nothing that really, like I didn't have a big dive, so I didn't know how to handle it until I got there and I was like, oh my goodness, I don't know how to handle this. So there was times that I was going out and, you know, when I shouldn't have been. And I think I'm assuming just to kind of, you know, deal with whatever I was going through mentally. But yeah, it was difficult. And I think a big part of it as well was, you know, we talk about knowing yourself, but a big part of it as well was thinking about, like, I'm representing the United States and nobody's seeing me on a game day roster. Nobody, you know, when the States are watching, people are excited to watch Tottenham because, oh, DeAndre Yedlin's there, but he's not even in the 18. You know what I mean? So people are starting to ask, oh, where is he? What is he? He's a flop, lost potential, da, da, da. And again, this was, I wish I knew then what I know now is just to get off social media because that's what was feeding it. You know what I mean? That was just feeding it and feeding it and feeding it until I started really to believe it. Like, I am a flower. Like, I just want to go back to America and be with my family. And yeah, it was a really tough 6 months. But looking back on my career now, it's probably the most important 6 months of my career. Do you know what I mean? Because that then led to a huge maturation that I saw in myself, not just for football or soccer, but for life. You know, I learned a lot of life lessons in that 6 months and in the following years, really, but based on that 6 months.
DeAndre left Tottenham Hotspur on loan at first to join Sunderland in the 2015-2016 season. Sunderland was struggling at the bottom of the Premier League table that season. DeAndre's lowest moment came in a game versus Watford, when the manager, Sam Allardyce, substituted him after 19 minutes of play. When he was back home, DeAndre decided to work on himself. He googled books about success, and he found one named Maximum Achievement by Brian Tracy. The book is all about goal setting as a means to achieve success. DeAndre started to apply this to his life, and soon things would turn around. After a couple of games without any playing time, he came on as a substitute versus Liverpool and impressed the manager. He was in the starting lineup the next game versus Manchester United. DeAndre played brilliantly. He fought his way back into the team and would play every minute during the final phase of the season, keeping Sunderland in the Premier League. This was a turning point in his career. In the summer of 2016, DeAndre made a transfer to Newcastle United, where he would play over 4 years. He helped the team get back to the Premier League, and he stayed a vital player of Newcastle United in their first seasons back at the highest level. However, DeAndre's playing time diminished in the 2020-2021 season. That's when the Turkish giants Galatasaray made him an offer. DeAndre accepted the offer and was on his way to Istanbul.
So 3 days before we ended up, leaving, my girlfriend found out she was pregnant. So that was like, I mean, there's a lot of great things about being an athlete, but sometimes the uncertainty of where you're going to be can really throw like a screw into things. Like it can throw a wrench into things. It's crazy. Anyway, so she was kind of a little bit on edge, like, you know, how's the healthcare in Turkey? Da 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 da. We're basically going to have our kid in Turkey, you know, which is not, I would have never imagined I'd have my daughter in Istanbul, but, and then it was actually kind of going back and forth. And then literally like 12 hours, no, maybe 18 hours before, I needed to be there. We got it figured out. So we literally we pretty much had already everything packed, but there was still some stuff that we needed to pack. So packed up the house, like probably 3 hours. My friend was there helping us, got on a private jet and just boom, straight down to Turkey. From there, I was finished with England. It's kind of weird and surreal because that was my home for, you know, 6.5 years, but just like that's gone.
Had you ever been to Turkey before?
I had actually been for the U20 World Cup.
I know. On your Instagram, there's an old picture in the stadium of Galatasaray. Yeah.
In Lady Gal, yes, yes. So everything kind of came full circle, which is crazy.
Yeah. That is crazy, actually.
Yeah, it's wild. Is wild.
What was it like to work with Fatih Terim? Because he's a legend in Turkey, right? Yes. He's the biggest manager ever for Galatasaray.
No, it was great. I mean, obviously you come in and you know, the reputation he has, and then you kind of get to see it firsthand, you know, just how much people respect him and how much he's respected. But it was great. I mean, like, it's like I said, it's a massive club with big characters, you know what I mean? And, you know, one thing that I really liked about it is, you know, every single place that, you know, Galatasaray goes, you know, Galatasaray is expecting to win. You know what I mean? There was no like, you know, maybe we're not going to, no, it's like, is just the club and the coach, you know, gave you that confidence where it's like, this is, you know, Galatasaray and we are supposed to win this game. So I really, it was kind of a nice, confidence, you know, to take up.
But at the same time, of course, Galatasaray was struggling a bit at the time. Yeah. The pandemic was also there, you know, and Istanbul, like we said, it's an incredible city, good food, good people. I like the massive dogs on the streets everywhere. But because Galatasaray was struggling a bit and you were a player there, of course, and the pandemic was going on, you know, how did that impact the way you experienced the city?
Yeah, it was difficult. I mean, there was that, and my girlfriend was pregnant, so and we are vegan, so it's a very obviously meat heavy culture, but we made it work. It's a little bit obviously more difficult to, you know, go and see the city, and there was lockdown times and things like that. Obviously, as the year went on, you know, things started to open up a bit more. We were able to see a little bit more, but we got out to Cappadocia. I don't know if you heard of Cappadocia. No, it's like this amazing place, kind of in the middle of Turkey. But we got out there, got to experience that. Other than that, I wasn't really able to get out too much. You know, I think one thing in Turkey that even in England, I didn't get is when you're a player for Galatasaray, you're an A-list celebrity. You know what I mean? Everybody knows and recognizes you. And that is obviously a great thing, but it can also be a bad thing. You know what I mean? So there's two sides of the coin to that. So, you know, going out wasn't as easy as just, oh, let me, you know, put on some clothes and just bounce out. It's like, all right, where are we going? I'm going to have to wear a hat. I'm going to have to cover my, you know, face. I think at the time I had dreads. So it's like braids. So it's figuring out how to get, you know, those away and hidden. So we can kind of go a little bit incognito. So that part of it was hard, but like I said, you know, it's such a amazing city with history that, you know, I couldn't even fathom. And being, you know, from America and being American, where, you know, comparatively, it's such a new country. You know what I mean? It's just incredible to be around that much history.
DeAndre received several offers from American clubs in the beginning of this season. He felt like it was time for him to go back home, especially after his daughter was born. DeAndre is also still part of the US men's national team. They recently qualified for the upcoming World Cup. DeAndre was just a rookie during the 2014 World Cup. His role in the team is vastly different this time around. Now he's one of the more senior players in the team, with brilliant young players like Christian Pulisic, Serginho Dest and Tyler Adams. DeAndre has become a mentor of the group.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's definitely more of a leadership role. And, you know, like I said, when I enter into a new situation, I'm somebody that is a little bit standoffish. I like to read the room a little bit. But now that I've been in the U.S. program for quite some time, it's kind of the sides have flipped and I know how it's like entering a new situation. So kind of, you know, one of the things I do really love to do is just welcoming players in, you know what I mean? And there's so much talent, like within, like you said, within the U.S. and within the U.S. pool. Like it's crazy to see just how much the U.S. as a country has improved, and how much more the world is respecting the U.S. now. You know, you see players going to top teams from the MLS, young players. And I think, you know, that's obviously credit to the MLS, and it's credit for, you know, the players wanting to take that leap. Because, you know, when I took that leap, it's a difficult decision to make. You know what I mean? It's really difficult. You know, a lot of people, I think one of the things that if nobody's ever had to make that decision or go through that stage in your life, it's, you know, people expect you to perform exactly in a completely different place how you perform, you know, at home. Like, for instance, for me at Seattle, to perform exactly how I was performing at Seattle at Tottenham. But I mean, that's just 20% of it. You know what I mean? There's a whole other life that's going on, you know, outside of the pitch. You're at the training ground for 3 hours a day. And then it's like, 21 other hours of the day. Like, you're basically starting a new life, you know, by yourself, you know, trying to make friends, figure out, you know, what moves to make and this and that. So it's a really difficult decision, you know, that I think a lot of people don't realize that. But, you know, I have to give credit to those kids for making that decision and taking that leap and, you know, really wanting to further their careers.
For example, recently we also made a podcast with Ricardo Pepi, and he just made the move from the MLS to Europe. And and of course, he also needs some time to adapt, you know. And that something when you're in the U.S. men's national team, something you talk about with a player like that?
Yeah, oh, definitely. You know, him, George Bello, who's also just moved over. You know, it does take time. And I think, you know, that's one of the things that especially the U.S. needs is some patience, you know, with some of the kids. It's not because we have so much talent and because we have so much talent coming up, you know, people are anxious to, you know, all right, we need to get him in, but it's not as easy as that. You know what I mean? There's so much more to performing on the field than just performing on the field. You know, it's there's so much outside of it. So, I just told him to be patient and, you know, things will come. You'll get more comfortable. You know, especially once you know the language fluently, you know, you'll be a lot more comfortable. Just adapting to the speed of play and this and that. And yeah, I'm sure that'll be fine.
What are your hopes and expectations for the U.S. men's national team at the World Cup?
My hopes is that we win the World Cup. I think if we go into the World Cup and we don't have the goal to win it, like, you know what I mean? It's selling ourselves short, I think. You know, I think we're at this stage where, of course, winning the World Cup is an incredibly difficult thing to do. But I think we're at this stage where we have to set that as our goal to win the World Cup. I think we have some amazing talent and some really obviously young, amazing talent. I think the most exciting thing for me, obviously the World Cup is amazing, but the fact that this group of players, you know, especially this younger group of players, will be able to be with each other for the next, you know, I don't know, 12 years or whatever it is, or 10 years, whatever it is. I mean, that's kind of how you look at the best teams in the world. And that's how they built these absolute dynasties, is all these guys have, you know, been together for so long and they know each other inside and out. So I'm excited to really see. I mean, this is just a start for the US. I think I'm really excited to see, you know, where this can go.
Yeah, cool. All right, man. I know I already took a lot of your time. Thank you very much. What are you going to do now?
I think I'm going to go to the pool. Go to the pool with my daughter. She loves the water. So let her swim around for a little bit.
Okay. Thank you again for your time and have a good day.
Appreciate it.
That's the story of DeAndre Yetlin, from his family's background to his breakthrough in the US and his years in Europe. I want to thank DeAndre for this interview. Follow this podcast in your podcast app to never miss an episode. And if you want to show your support, you can give our podcast lots of stars on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really, really helps us. All right, my name is Sam van Raalte. Thank you for listening, and on to the next story in the home of football.
Hi guys, Frank here. I just filmed a podcast with 433.
I'm Mario Götze.
My name is Clarence Seedorf.
Hi, I'm Sunil Chetri. I just finished my podcast with 433.
Hello, 433 fans. This is Jibril Cisse.
Yo, what's going on, people? It's your boy, Andy Bayrak in Fenway, a.k.a. Mr. Beast Mode. And I just finished a podcast with 433.
Hi, 433 fans. It's Don Robbie in the building, right? And we are here for a great podcast. I want you to check it out.
Hi, 433. I am Fabrizio Romano. Check out my story on the podcast. It was a great pleasure.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.